This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. This is a big couple of days for monetary policy watchers. The Federal Reserve meets today and tomorrow on interest rates and the general health of the economy. Technically, actually, I should say that it's the Federal Open Market Committee that's kicking off its first two-day meeting of the year. The FOMC is going to vote on whether to raise interest rates. Spoiler alert, they are almost certainly not going to raise rates. But the reason I mention it is that this being January, exactly who gets a vote has changed. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains.
When Fed Chair Jerome Powell walks into a press conference to announce the decision on interest rates, as he did last month.
Today, we raised our target range for the short-term interest rates by another quarter of a percentage point.
Powell may get all the glory or blame, but rates are actually decided by a vote of the FOMC. There are typically 19 members, but only 12 vote. Powell always, the six other Fed governors always, the head of the New York Fed always, but the presidents of the other 11 Federal Reserve banks spread across the country rotate, four on, seven off. Former Fed economist Ann Owens says there's a reason for that.
If all the bank presidents participated each year, then the regional bank presidents would then dominate the FOMC.
The rotation hasn't changed since 1913, when the Federal Reserve was established. Cities that had bigger populations back then, like Cleveland and St. Louis, get the vote every other year. For cities that were on the frontier, like San Francisco and Dallas, it's 1 year on, 2 years off.
Historically, the vote meant everything.
Peter Conte Brown is a Fed historian at the University of Pennsylvania. He says when it wasn't your turn to vote, you had no voice.
And so rotating out, as members of the Federal Open Market Committee would do, meant you were rotating into oblivion.
Conte Brown says the culture started changing in the 1980s when then-chair Paul Volcker was ratcheting up interest rates. Read the Fed transcripts and you see more and more input by those who didn't have the vote. By the time the financial crisis hit in 2007, everyone in the room seemed to have an equal voice. And there was plenty of disagreement. But
the nature of the culture is you don't want to seem like you're totally deviant outside the norm.
That's Richard Fisher, who was head of the Dallas Fed from 2005 to 2015. He says the Fed always presents a united front, but there are places to express yourself if you want to vent, like the speaking circuit.
I made a lot of speeches.
Speeches during the financial crisis about near-zero interest rates pouring so much cheap money into the economy that it was hurting savers and encouraging risky investments that over time might sink the economic ship.
And that liquidity could slosh around the hull of the ship, and if it got out of control, it could capsize the ship.
Reflecting on his decade at the Dallas Fed in 2015, Fisher spoke at the Economic Club of New York, where he called for the New York Fed to share the vice chair's position on the FOMC.
As I uttered those words, I could tell I was in a doghouse.
People have questioned whether the voting rotation should be more, let's say, equal, but that would take an act of Congress. In the meantime, Boston, Chicago, St. Louis, and Kansas City move into voting position today. Cleveland, San Fran, Richmond, and Atlanta move out. The shift isn't expected to tip the balance of the Fed any further toward raising interest rates. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.